month, Sarah Wombe, Defence Force veterans will have access to thousands of discounted goods and services under a new federal government initiative. A new veterans discount card is now on offer. Veterans Minister Darren Chester says it's right for businesses to show their respect for those who have served our nation. Australians are being told to stop swill feeding their pigs to reduce the risk of African swine fever reaching our shores. The virus has spread across Asia and is threatening to devastate the global pig market. Australian Pork CEO Margot Andre says the local industry is alert but not yet alarmed.
We're preparing just in case. So we strengthen our borders, we've worked with governments, we're working with state governments, with the chief veterinary officers. So we're doing everything we can to try and keep it out, but also we're planning just in case so that if it does reach our shores, we are prepared.
A teenager has died while kite surfing in Sydney South. The 14-year-old boy got caught in a gust of wind and landed on rocks at Silver Beach in Kurnell yesterday afternoon. He was airlifted to hospital in a critical condition but died of his injuries. Victorian police are on the scene of a shooting in Melbourne's west. Neighbours in the vicinity of Hampshire and Devonshire roads in Sunshine reported hearing several gunshots just before three this morning. On arrival, police found two men with gunshot wounds and they were treated by paramedics before being taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Inquiries are continuing. Anyone with information is urged to call Crime Stoppers. The first inflatable rescue boat in Australia is celebrating a milestone anniversary, saving more than 100,000 lives. Sean Bindley takes a look.
A boy from Avalon on Sydney's northern beaches was part of the first group of lifeguards sent to work in the UK when he was 17. There, Warren Mitchell witnessed the terrible drowning of a child and endeavoured to find a faster rescue method. He developed the first inflatable rescue boat in Australia and put it to the test in 1969, saving eight people dragged out to sea in a rip-off Avalon. Affectionately known as a rubber duck, the vessel is now celebrating its official 50th anniversary, and it's still saving lives. Five boats were deployed to rescue 40 people swept off a sandbar in Cronulla in February, and every person returned to shore safely. Sean Bindley, Air News.
At least 13 people have been killed and more than 30 injured when a car exploded on the Turkey-Syria border. Meanwhile, Turkey has announced they will no longer keep Islamic State suspects because the country is not a hotel for ISIL members to stay there forever and has criticised Europe over its inaction on the matter. The BBC's Alan Johnston reports.
Turkey's Interior Minister, Süleyman Soylu, was blunt in his criticism of Europe's attitude towards its citizens captured in the ranks of the Islamic State group. He described the reluctance to bring them home as irresponsible and unacceptable. He said Turkey would send these people back to the nations they came from. Tens of thousands of IS fighters and their family members have been held captive by Western-backed Kurdish forces in northeastern Syria. Turkey is now holding some who escaped when the Turks launched their recent military incursion in the region.
And South Africans are continuing to celebrate after the Springboks won Rugby's World Cup. This is Air News. World number one Ash Barty will face Elena Svitolina in the WTA finals in China after downing Karolina Pliskova. She rallied from a set down to win 4-6, 6-2, 6-3. South Africa have defeated England to win this year's Rugby World Cup final in Japan. The Springboks claimed a dominant 32-12 victory over their rivals. It's their third title since winning in 1995 and 2007. Tonga has defeated Australia 16-12 in the Rugby League Test in Auckland. Tonga's Andrew Fifita says their win is a big boost for the Codes following in the Pacific Islands.
Last year we didn't get a game going into it and it was short notice for the game, but this year we had plenty of preparation and we got a game before and it was successful. You know, we built off that and we come to this game with belief, and especially a hard time, it was all about that belief and getting the job done, and, you know, in saying that, we got the job done, so we're always stoked.
In the other games, New Zealand down Great Britain 12-8 and Fiji thumped Samoa 44-18. The Western Sydney Wanderers have drawn nil-all with Brisbane Roar in the A-League. Western United celebrated a 3-2 win over Melbourne Victory. In the Women's Big Bash League, the Sydney Sixers beat the Melbourne Renegades by 4 wickets. The Melbourne Stars have claimed a 20-run win over the Perth Scorchers. And Australia is brimming with confidence ahead of their 2020 opener with Pakistan at the SCG today. The green and gold side is coming off a 7-wicket win over Sri Lanka. Australian Independent Radio News.
For some people, just missing it means running onto the platform when the doors close, right in your face. For others, it's backing a horse who misses the kick by three that comes charging home and just misses by a nose. We're those people. And we're all happy that if your horse runs second or third in races 1-3 at Flemington and Randwick this Melbourne Cup Day, TAB gives us a bonus bet back up to $50. TAB, long may we play.
Excludes SA and WA residents. TAB account, fixed odds, win bets only. T's and C's at website. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Lionel, Samsung's celebrating 50 years.
Man walked on the moon 50 years ago.
That's some segue.
Imagine the picture on a Samsung TV.
I'm working on your segue.
How about a Bingley gift card valued up to $1,000 with any Samsung QLED TV 75 inches and above?
One small step for anyone buying Samsung QLED TV 75 inches and above.
One giant deal for everyone who buys a Samsung TV at Bingley.
A gift card worth up to $1,000 from Bingley.
Australian family owned for over 60 years.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
At Wingman, we've got your back. We're so excited by our new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never bitter lager. We're putting out a challenge. Next time you buy your beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where we've landed, and if you can't find us at your local, call us on 1300 45 beer. Take the Wingman challenge today. Now also available online with Dan Murphy. Enjoy responsibly.
Holding into the clan, he's ambushing them now.
Holding claims the inaugural Golden Eagle.
Right over the top.
We're about to create history.
South Africa World Cup champions once again.
Downdraft races into the Melbourne Cup.
Downdraft went for home. It's a mile in front.
The game is over and Tonga are victorious.
Tonga stunned the Kangaroo.
Incredible. Wonderful.
The greatest upset in league history.
Remarkable.
And now, overnight scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Well, controversy aplenty to start the program. I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. We are on Melbourne Cup Eve just about, and we've had a huge day of racing yesterday. We've had some incredible results across both rugby codes, and we'll get to them very shortly. But usually it's Ray Thomas sitting next to me. He has been he's on a mission down there in Melbourne. I think he was going to head out to Werribee. We'll have to find out. We're going to speak to Raymond a little bit later on in the program, but Dean Ritchie jumps into the chair, and just when you think you've got to be as tight as possible on those little intros that we do, Dino, you get the extended version, and we get all that you wanted to say within it. Ray Thomas will find out about this, mate, and he will not be happy. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Jimmy. It's lovely to be here. What a sensational couple of days. The Golden Eagle, we had the Derby, Melbourne Cup Tuesday, the Kangaroos, South Africa winning. If you love your sport, Jimmy, it's great to be alive.
Oh, the Kings are 6-0 as well, so we're happy about that. But just incredible, the scenes that we had coming out of Eden Park yesterday. They have now beaten every Tier 1 nation in rugby league. And I know we start with that, and there's a huge Rugby World Cup final that is followed by far more people around the globe. But very locally, it's leading both newspapers. We know that it sells here in old Sydney Town and around New South Wales and Queensland. That was just an incredible performance from Tonga, and it must be said, a very disappointing performance from the Kangaroos.
Yeah, it certainly was. I thought a few of the gun Australian players just didn't quite stand up yesterday.
Give me names, Dino.
Cherry Evans, Munster. I thought our forward pack was dominated. I thought Taumalolo, Takiaho,
Phenomenal.
Performances. What about Christian Wolf, Jimmy? We talk about potential NRL coaches. He doesn't seem to get mentioned that often, but gee, what he's done with his side the last 2 or 3 years, albeit he has manufactured a fair roster, But, dear, this bloke is some coach, Jimmy.
Putting a good CV together, heading over to England, of course, next year as well. And just looking at some of the stats that are coming through with the performances of these players yesterday. You mentioned Taumalolo, et cetera. Like, just gets through an enormous amount of work. And remember that Tonga, they're in disarray, essentially. Their league, as such, is in disarray. It's not Tonga that played last night. It's Tonga Invitational. So they've still got all this backroom administration that they have to sort out, despite the fact they're getting paid less than 1/20th of what the Kangaroos get paid to play in that test match. All the support there in the stadium was for Tonga, and it was another incredible win against a Tier 1 nation. So that brings me to the next question, Dino. Should Tonga, when do Tonga get Tier 1 status?
Just on that payment issue, first up, Jimmy, I think they got $3,000 to play last night, which in terms of rugby league is absolute pittance. But again, it shows you that these blokes would rather play for Tonga and get pittance than pledge their allegiance to one of the Tier 1 nations where they could get some fair coin.
Well, Andrew Fifita has turned his back on State of Origin. Jason Taumalolo did it as well, and of course famously courted by Queensland. But he said, no, I want to play for Tonga. He mentioned last time in the press conference post-game that it was the greatest moment in his career. It goes ahead of the 2015 Premiership Cowboys victory for the Cowboys. So 188 metres for him, just a 183 for Siasiwa Taukeiaho. And Andrew Adenfanua Blake chips in with 165.
Look, right now, Jimmy, I've got no problem conceding that I think they're the second best rugby league nation in the world at the moment. They are ahead of England. They are ahead of New Zealand. But the issue I have about promoting them too early, Jimmy,
yes,
is that do they have the depth to sustain Tier 1 status in years to come? When this current crop move on, which quite clearly they will in time, do they have the depth when you've got only 100,000 people on your island? Do they have the sustained depth to retain that status? That's my only question. Because right now, they should be a Tier 1 nation.
Well, if you think about it, Jason Taumalolo is, what have we got, World Cups. If we think about it from a World Cup cycle point of view, 2021, 2025, he's around for the next two World Cups. He's got, I think, 7 or 8 years remaining on his deal at the Cowboys there. So he will be around. Adenfanua Blake is younger. Fifita's a bit older. Taukeiaho's sort of in the middle of those two. So from that point of view. But the real key to them is that the performance of Tui Lolohia, who wasn't quite run out of town, but he never really physically got to where he should. And you could argue that he's still not there. But his performance last night was world class.
It was a super performance, wasn't it? He had so much vision last night. He was just, everything he touched turned to gold. Let's shift on to the Kangaroos, Jimmy. I mean, where does this put them in terms of Mal Meninga? There's no suggestion Mal will lose his job, quite obviously. But the fact that they've lost to a Tier 2 nation,
yes,
in terms of rugby league in Australia, I mean, is it damaging? Should we care? Or should we be celebrating, albeit I'm a proud Aussie like you, Jimmy. Yep. We always cheer for Australia. But I can't help but think there was a lot of people last night giving Tonga a bit of a cheer.
I think we're option D, all of the above. I think it's disappointing for the Kangaroos, and they'll be bitterly disappointed with their final performance of the season. And I totally understand the frustration of Boyd Cordner at the end of that match with the ridiculous tackle from Saliva Havili on Katoni Staggs to kill the game. And you're there going, oh, that can't happen, that can't happen. And then you take a step back and go, wow, what a great result for international rugby league, though, with Tonga having the victory. I came on the program last week and said we should celebrate the Australian jersey more because they're such a magnificent outfit. A week later, they get beaten by Tonga, a Tier 2 nation. The last time they were beaten by either a side that wasn't England or Great Britain or New Zealand was 1978, beaten 11-10 against France. And you can only imagine, I'd imagine the penalty count was about 25-2.
It was. I can clearly remember as a youngster, the penalty count was astronomical against. But look, looking at the Aussies, Jimmy, you always got the sense that they were going to win.
Yes.
During that first half. You thought, well, this is going to end up being the predictable result. But in the second half, when it really got tough, Tonga won it 10 points to nil. The Kangaroos did not score a point in that second half.
They should have won it in the last minute and a half. With 90 seconds to go, they had a 5-on-2, and they didn't get it done. So, and I know, see, James Tedesco is accepting responsibility, threw the ball over the sideline there. So we'll take your thoughts on that, 1353-53, the open line number. Incredible out there at Rose Hill Gardens yesterday. We spoke to Brett Devine, who's the General Manager of Communications at the ATC on Friday morning. We were out there, Dino, and he said, look, I think we're getting over 10,000, a crowd of over 10,000. And then off air, he said, look, ticket sales have been a little bit slow, but we know it's going to be a nice day, and we know that we always get plenty of walk-ups. Well, didn't they get some walk-ups? Over 20,000 people out there for the running of the inaugural Golden Eagle. I can't wait to see what the turnover was like on it. And the performance of Colding was absolutely world-class.
Yeah, the boss-Waller combination. On television yesterday, Jimmy, they were described as Torvald and Dean.
Wow. And who? Do we get an understanding? Who's Christopher and who's Jane?
But it's an interesting situation, Jimmy. I'm always fascinated when a jockey like Glenn Boss, who's 50 years old.
Amazing.
In sport in Australia, in my eyes, we tend to discard our veteran players very quickly. Certainly in rugby league, you're over the hill, you're gone. I get it. It's a cutthroat sport and an industry, but in racing, we seem to celebrate a jockey like Glenn Boss, who's 47. Damien Oliver won the Derby yesterday. He's 47. Glenn Boss, 50, sorry, rather. So here's these blokes, middle-aged, still winning elite races at the highest possible level.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Completely different about the physical requirements.
I get it. But the emotional toughness and the mental preparation that these guys put in is amazing for someone who you would think has done it all, would now be sitting back on his couch.
But I reckon they get better. I reckon at that part of the game, and experience, and being calm during emotional moments on the racetrack, as you get older, you would get better at that. And I think that's the same for all sports people. The only thing that lets you down in some sports is your body. Your body can't do what the mind can. So from a jockey point of view, it's almost like a golfer. I would argue that the golfers get better post 35 years of age because they find that sweet spot between when their body is able to do what they want to do and they're more refined in their thinking about how they approach their game. We'll take your thoughts on that too, 1353-53. Did you watch any of the Rugby World Cup final?
I watched a bit of it. I did get to bed early, Jimmy, clearly because we had to be in here quite early.
You like your napping too, don't you? I do like a nap.
I do like a nap. Look, I'm not going to be critical. It's a World Cup final, but...
Go on.
Well, it was a penalty goal-a-thon again, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
Come on.
I think they scored two tries in the last 10 minutes. Good luck to South Africa. They thoroughly deserved it.
Yes.
I will be fascinated to see how the British press now treat Eddie Jones. He was a hero for the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Rolled into the final as unbackable favourites. Some were suggesting that they would win by 20, where in fact it was the reverse. You watch them turn on Eddie Jones right now. He will be a man under fire. And I did notice, too, some of the players ripped off their runners-up medals. They didn't want them. Yeah,
oh.
And they were criticised by the British press this morning for doing that. I personally don't have a problem. That, to me, showed that they wanted to win and that being a runner-up didn't deserve a medal in their eyes, so they ripped them off their throats.
Second place is first loser.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying? Wow. 32 points to 12, South Africa over England. Massive upset, as you mentioned. They really targeted the scrum of England that lost a player in the first 3 minutes, their front rower. So that went against them. Third World Cup final victory for South Africa following wins in 1995, famously, and 2007. Prior to the last 10 minutes... Well, it might have been 15 minutes of last night. They were in their third World Cup final. They'd never scored a try in a World Cup final, and they'd never conceded a try in a World Cup final. And now they've scored two, and they're world champions for the third time.
I always laugh at rugby fans, Jimmy, and I don't want to be critical of them again, but I probably will be.
Whenever you say, I don't want to be critical.
But I just don't understand.
You either chip in with however.
How you can cheer wildly,
yes,
throwing your arms around when you kick a penalty goal.
It's the appreciation of the... See, the scrum dominance, that's such an important part of the game. But a lot of the nuances are left
for those, if you haven't played the game or if you're just watching at home on TV,
could you cheer a penalty goal?
No, I don't cheer penalty goals. But I appreciate, I'll tell you what I did appreciate, when England were attacking the line for a sustained period in that first half, and South Africa defended and defended and defended. And they gave away a couple of penalties, and you play the advantage, and then they gave away another penalty. Eventually, England did take that penalty. But it was brilliant defense. And you think about it, I was saying to my wife, Tracy, loves a rugby, Tracy, so she was watching the World Cup final. I was saying, we underestimate the size of these players. They're massive, massive men. And there they are getting smashed and pushed back just short of the try line. It was an incredible performance.
Look, in terms of international status, Jimmy, quite clearly the World Cup has the edge over a Tonga v Kangaroos test.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually struggled last night to watch the World Cup after the Kangaroos game. I wasn't that much of a high, and the standard was so good, and the physicality and the ferociousness of that Kangaroos game.
Yes.
It was actually a come down to me to watch the World Cup final. And that might sound silly in terms of globally, how many people watch the World Cup final compared to Tonga v Australia, but in my eyes, it was a come down in terms of how the game was played and how tough it was.
It's not our talk topic today, but what we're setting up here is, what's the better sport, rugby union or rugby league on a Sunday morning? 13:53. We don't want you to ring in with answers on that, okay? All right, we don't want it. 13:53, the open line number, SMS number, 0419-767-272. And now we know Raymond is down there in Melbourne, but a big win yesterday for Warning in the derby. Damien Oliver, your man again, 47 years of age, a really dominant win, a couple of lengths, and Anthony Friedman, the trainer. But the performance of exceedance, that was the one that caught the eye. Now we've got a colt there that is worth, well, we'll ask Ray about it, but I would think upwards of $25 million. Up in the space of about, how long would that have taken? About 60 seconds, the 1,200 metres up the straight there at Flemington. We've now got ourselves a $25 million colt. It's incredible, isn't it?
It's just extraordinary figures. I just can't get my head around that, Jimmy. That in that period of time, we've now got a $25 million horse.
Yeah. So well done to Team Hawks. And by the way, just on that, we are going to speak to Wayne Hawks a little bit later. We'll speak to Ray Thomas. We think he's, well, we don't know where he is. We know he's in Victoria. Whether he's in Melbourne, tapping away at the computer. I love the weeks when he writes the newspaper. I love it. I think we've got another one coming up.
Doing one of his 19-hour-a-day.
That's right. Producer Tanya's here nodding. She hasn't seen him for about 3 weeks.
So well, she's probably lucky.
She does appreciate that. Hey, Greg Hickman. We're going to have a chat with Greg Hickman too. Piorata. What a win by Piorata. $4.8 million in prize money. Thanks very much. Not in the G. Hickman colours. We'll ask him about that. Of course, Aquas Farm taking over a controlling interest in the lead-up to the Everest. And you just wonder what would have been in the Everest and that prize money had Piorata been able to get a run in the straight. So got a run in the straight yesterday, ridden a little bit closer. So we'll speak to Greg Hickman about that. We're going to try and track down Chris Waller. So Chris Waller is there. He's going okay, that young bloke from New Zealand. Things are sort of looking up for him.
I love the emotion, Jimmy. Every time I see him interviewed after a big race, he's in tears.
Yeah.
And he just seems to have this soulful association with his horses. It seems to be his priority is almost their safety,
yeah,
as opposed to his bank balance. It's an extraordinary situation when you just see him in tears after races. He must just be so close to his horses. He just can't help it. The emotions just bubble over, and I think it's lovely.
We'll speak to your man Zorba very shortly as well throughout the course of the morning. Darren Beedman is our legend of the game. We're looking forward to that. A two-time Melbourne Cup winning jockey, a Hall of Famer before he had retired. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. Phil Moss will go through the A-League and the EPL. I'm not even talking Man United. I'm not even going to talk about it. Very good side, AFC Bournemouth. They're tough to crack down their home ground. And Brady Hyde will be along for an NFL and Major League Baseball and an NBA update. I think he's got some Tiger Woods news too, on the back of Tiger Woods winning 82 from 82 PGA events. But just before we go to the ad break,
sorry, let me interrupt briefly. Sam Snead, a legend.
Yes.
Quickly on golf. Given Tiger Woods' recent history, albeit he has cleaned up his act, does he deserve to go past Sam Snead?
Absolutely.
Or
completely unrelated to behaviour.
I know that, Jimmy, but in golf, you know, etiquette's a very, very important thing, and how you behave. And someone like Sam Snead, who is respected universally for many, many decades.
Yes.
I just wonder whether there's people out there that think, you know what? What Tiger Woods did, does he deserve to go past Sam Snead in terms of behaviour away from the golf course?
1353 53 is the open line number. I have no problem with it. I understand why his wife had a problem with it, but I don't have a problem with it because I'm looking at Tiger through a golfing lens. But, you know, we spoke to Ray Thomas before the show today, and the spectre of Ray Thomas, the long shadow that he casts over this program, is in play again. He's given us our talk topic for today after we were struggling around for one. Favourite cup moment. Favourite cup moment. Do you have one, Dino?
I do. It goes back many years.
Yes.
It's the first time in my life, Jimmy, I had to push emotion aside for money. And it stayed with me ever since.
How old were you?
I was 14 years old. My dear old mum got me in a sweep, 1982.
Yes.
I wanted Kingston Town to win because of the legend that
he
was.
Yes.
And Gurner's Lane won, but I had Gurner's Lane in the sweep. So suddenly the legend got pushed aside and the bank balance started, and it's just kept going up ever since.
And it's continued ever since, 14 years of age. Mine, 2002, on track, media puzzle wins. It was a week after Damien Oliver's brother had been killed in a race fall, and he saluted to the sky. It was an amazing moment to be on track for that one. The fact that I'd back Media Puzzle as well, just a little kick.
Now you made me feel bad. I'm talking about money and you're talking about emotion.
Well, I've got a little bit of money in there as well. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with some race replays.
Wherever you are in New South Wales, Sky Sports Radio's there too. On Deniliquin, 88 FM. Cootamundra, 87.6 FM. Woolgoolga, 88 FM. And Jerilderie, 87.6 FM.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse or two on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people who would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
Mum, are we doing free full-service delivery on fridges?
You read my email, Lionel.
Yes.
Our customers love it.
OK, so any customer that comes into Bing Lee and spends over $600 on a fridge will get free delivery, free connection, plus removal of the old fridge.
That's not flies, are you, Lionel?
Spend over $600 on a fridge and get free full-service delivery.
At Bing Lee.
Australian family-owned for over 60 years.
Conditions apply.
At Wingman, we've got your back. We're so excited by our new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never bitter lager. We're putting out a challenge. Next time you buy your beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where we've landed, and if you can't find us at your local, call us on 1300 45 beer. Take the Wingman challenge today. Now also available online with Dan Murphy's. Enjoy responsibly.
The very best of US racing 7 days a week.
Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Downdraft went for home, though, at the clock tower. It's a mile in front. Four lengths, Carriff, followed by Azuro, but it's all Downdraft. Downdraft, three lengths in front, secures a place in the cup. Downdraft, a length and a quarter, Carriff.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
$17 hope in the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday. Downdraft after securing its position for Joseph O'Brien and John Allen. Welcome back to the program. We've got some race replays that we're going to jump into. We mentioned the crowd out there, Dino, at Rosehill Gardens. Their expectation was, well, over 10. Anything north of that, they'd be very happy with. 20,756 people on track. So, tick for people of the West responding to what's been a sustained campaign. But in the end, it was a real quality lineup that went around in the Golden Eagle, the first edition of the Golden Eagle. Anyway, let's have a listen to the Golden Eagle and the win, outstanding win, of Colding.
Sunlight turns in front. Forsyka gets going with I Am Superman. Brutal. Then came Mizzy and Behemoth and Arcadia Queen to the outside. Sunlight still travels at the 250. Mizzy slipping up the fence. Then Brutal, Behemoth, Arcadia Queen, three off them. Sunlight still in front. Mizzy up the fence. Colding into the clear now. He's ambushing them now. Colding right over the top. Swooped. Won the Golden Eagle. Colding from Sunlight. Third between Mizzy, Behemoth.
Yeah, well, that's the win there of Colding and might be the next big thing. We can ask Raymond about this, Dino, but there's Waller and Boss, fresh off a win in the Everest. You put a multi-million-dollar race on and Waller and Boss come and win it. So that's what's happened over the last couple of weeks. But Colding could be the outstanding horse over the next couple of years, of course, at Gelding. So there'll be no retiring to the stud barn, and that was a very, very good win.
Yeah, it was a great ride, I thought, from G Boss. Jimmy had plenty of work to do.
Oh, he ran up the back of about eight of them in the straight, not quite eight, but.
And got the cash. Look, he's a big race. He's just a winner, Glenn Boss, isn't he? And Colding, very underrated horse. Jimmy, I think it's now 15 starts, 8 wins, 1 second, and 3 thirds.
Yeah, and ever since it was gelded, I think it's 7 from 8. So that's the response from Colding. Piorata is an entire, and this was a scintillating performance in the Redzel Stakes.
Then came Parada for the back two. Fiesta getting to the outside with a good run and trekking down the outside. Easy Eddie lays it down to Home of the Brave. Champagne Cuddle sticking on well. So's Parada. Here's a good finish. Parada moved up now to Champagne Cuddles. Trekking with a big run late. Parada in front. 50 out from trekking to Fry. But Parada up on the pace. Parada takes out the Redzel Stakes. Great go the Miners. Trekking to Fry. Blue remain.
In the Aquas Farm colours on our Greg Hickman had the Hickman colours tie on yesterday. No problem for him, and he keeps winning prize money like that. But Greg's a part owner of the horse. We're going to have a chat with Greg today too. But, gee, you just wonder what might have been, Dino, this preparation. Couldn't get a run in the Everest, as in couldn't get a run in the straight there, and flashed home again yesterday, as we know Piorata does. So a great win there. Let's go down to Flemington. First of the group ones there was the Tab Empire Rose Stakes. And it was the Kiwis who got the job.
Fahuda Kawa brought towards the middle from Princess Jenny. Melody Bell's one of the widest. Aristia drives up on the inside and takes the lead at the 300 metres from Miss Siska. Then Spanish Reef. And now Melody Bell is flying home. Aristia at the 150. Here comes the Kiwi star. Melody Bell up to Aristia. Melody Bell takes Aristia. What a bonny mare. A mighty mare. Melody Bell has won it by a length and a quarter. Aristia. Third Spanish Reef. Fourth Princess.
There's Matty Hill with another great call. Four straight win there for Melody Bell, for Richards and Boston. And doesn't Boston come over and steal some races of the Kiwis? They love that. But outstanding win, as we heard. The Coolmore Stud Stakes. We're going to speak to Wayne Hawks later in the program as well. It's just incredible. We were talking about it earlier. Now we have, well, we'll get Raymond's thoughts on it, but a horse's value north of $25 million, and the reason is because of performance like this.
Sartorial Splendor in front of Bivouac, who's getting close to the outside. Then Cosmic Force, Libertini, Carter from Accession. Exceedance over on the far side, running on. Bivouac at the 250, explodes, goes to the lead. Exceedance back to the inside, chasing Bivouac, then Libertini. Bivouac at the 100, Exceedance wearing him down. So much at stake, then Libertini. Bivouac grabbed by Exceedance, who drops them. And Exceedance won the call. Exceedance beat Bivouac, Libertini.
Yeah, great run, Libertini as well. Bivouac there. And the interesting thing here, Exceedance, of course, Exceed and Excel is the sire. Bivouac, the sire, is Exceed and Excel. So it's a very good day for Godolphin from a breeding point of view. And as I said, we'll speak to Wayne Hawks, who was at the track yesterday for Team Hawks down there at Flemington. The Derby, the age-honoured Derby. Well, Shadow Hero was the one turned out for Mark Newnham, the favourite. But in the end, it was Warning and Damien Oliver that got the cash.
Soul Patch Relucent, now Southern Moon's digging in. Warning goes for home at the 300 metres. Two legs to Soul Patch and Southern Moon. Still Warning at the clock tower. Lead still by a length and three quarters. Soul Patch and Southern Moon. But Warning is brave. 100 metres to go. It's Warning, two legs Southern Moon. And it's Damien Oliver and Warning to win the Derby. Three legs Southern Moon. Soul Patch third. Four.
That is a dominant victory. Three lengths in a derby like that. So well done, Anthony Friedman and Damien Oliver. You mentioned Damien Oliver, 47 years of age. I saw an article by Ray today suggesting that he's now become the most successful jockey in the history of the Melbourne Cup, the four-day Melbourne Cup Carnival. 73 winners he's ridden across those 4 days throughout the course of his career.
What keeps driving these blokes, Jimmy? What keeps driving someone like D. Oliver?
The dollars helps.
But there must be more than just the dollar. He'd have plenty of coin. There must just be this inner drive to keep going at the highest level of your profession, year after year. You've done it all. You've won everything that's on offer.
Yeah.
Yet you seem to still be able to push yourself to get to that next level. It's a fascinating story. You'd love to sit down over dinner with these guys, wouldn't you? And just pick their brain about life in general and how they go about their work.
I reckon if you're a natural lightweight, it's much easier than if you have to work and work and work to make weight. So it'd be interesting from a Huey Bowman point of view, who's a tall jockey, and you just wonder, he works so hard at his fitness. Not that these other guys don't, but it's...
Do you think that would wear them down emotionally,
Jimmy? Absolutely,
absolutely. Just that constant battle.
Yep, you're always feeling hungry. It's amazing that they live that way. 13:53:53, the open line number. And finally, down there, the Group 1, the Kennedy Cantala. And this was fierce impact for Matty Smith.
Fierce impact trying to get into the clear, and so too Secunderabad. Still Cliff Sedge at the 300 metres with Streets of Avalon 50 stars. Fierce impact and Sosie Bond right down the outside, followed by Cascadian. Fierce impact towards the 100, takes 50 stars. Sosie Bond, Cascadian. Fierce impact just in front of 50 stars, who's coming back. Fierce impact and a head bomber. Fierce impact does the Tour at Cantala double beat. 50 stars, Cascadian. Fourth, Sosie Bond.
Back to back wins there for Fierce Impact. Matty Smith, Craig Williams on board, 42 years of age. So there's another, well, not, we haven't tipped him out the pasture just yet, but being a little bit senior, $8.50 Fierce Impact paying. So that was a good return there if you happen to be on board. 13:53:53. Well, that's the race replays done and dusted. There you go, Raymond. Raymond's, he always says that's my favourite part of the show.
We didn't miss him one iota.
Who? Ray, who? That's what I was. That's what producer Tanya was saying. No, she wasn't. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Before we get to callers there, Dino, lots of people wanting to have their say in the SMS. This is an interesting one. Paul at Huskisson. Morning, lads. Well, any club that is chasing Latrell Mitchell's signature can take a zero off the end of their contract offer if they watched his poor performance for the Kangaroos last night. Talk about lack of effort, bad decision-making and lacklustre attitude. Would be lucky to play in the jumper again on that effort.
It wasn't Latrell's best performance last night, Jimmy. The big debate around rugby league right now is, what is Latrell Mitchell worth? His camp suggests he's $1 million a year player.
Yep.
But I think you'll find a lot of managers these days, Jimmy, it seems to be the go-to figure you have when you're negotiating. You look at players out there who have copped $1 million, like a Milford and a Ben Hunt, who, with all due respects, probably aren't million-dollar players, which, of course, gets into the head of rival players and managers, who now say he's worth $1 million. Is Latrell worth $1 million at the moment? I don't think so. But I'm not going to base Latrell Mitchell on one substandard off-season performance.
No.
He's a quality player, and when he's on his game, there's no better centre in the rugby league world.
13:53:53, the open line number. The other thing from a manager's point of view, what they really want to do is sign them to long-term deals, because the way player contracts are now with managers, they can terminate that in 3 months. So for the manager to hang on to that commission, they actually need to sign them up to long-term deals.
I think Latrell's going to meet with the Roosters this week with his manager, Wade Rushton.
Yep.
I think they were hoping for a three-year extension. He's got 1 year to go, of course, but November 1 has now passed, so rival clubs can start to formally waive contracts under his nose.
Wingman Carton today for the best contribution, of course, General Chow's, the $250 voucher to the restaurant General Chow's at Chatswood. You ever been, Dino?
I haven't been there, but I have heard it's very good.
Ray and I and Tanya and the crew, we've never been either, but we're looking to rectify
that. Is
that
a hint?
No, it's already, the offer's already been put out there, so thank you very much. And don't worry, we're going to take you up on that at some stage as well. $250 voucher there. It's not an outstanding price. 13:53:53, the open line number. Let's get to callers. Adrian is on the line. Hello, Adrian.
Hey, g'day, Bulldog. G'day, Jimmy. How are you?
Very well, mate. What do you got for us?
Hey, look, just for that game last night, when are people going to start to realise how good Taki Aho and Fanua Blake are? I mean, seriously, across the 25 rounds this year, Fanua Blake was the best prop in the game for me, undoubtedly. I mean, you got Papali up there as well. He was fantastic as well. But these guys are sensational. Takiyaho kicks goals as well.
Yes.
I mean, they've got so much more skill than what the Australian forward pack has. I mean, if you pick like a composite side, they'd be lucky to get many players into that team. And the other thing, you talk about future players for Tonga. I mean, I know he's a bit of controversy at the moment, Manaasi Fainu, but he's a Tongan as well, and he looks like he could be the best hooker we've seen in decades. So,
I tell you what, Adrian, and thanks for your call. I tell you what, if people keep listening to Adrian's call, they'll realise what a great prop Adam Fanua Blake is, because I reckon that's the fourth time I've heard him say it over the course of all programming.
Well, Adrian said, when are we going to start to give these two credit? I think we have given them credit. I don't think there's any suggestion that Fanua Blake and Takiyaho aren't among the elite props of the game.
Totally.
I mean, you could argue that Takiyaho's almost number one, and if that's the case, Fanua Blake could be number two.
Here's the question, though. Are they paid like they're the number one and number two props in the world?
I don't know personally what they're on, Jimmy. I know Takiyaho's off after next year.
Yep.
So if that's the case and you're looking to build a forward pack,
yep,
how much would you want to throw at him to say, all right, you come to us, we'll pay you overs, but we'll build a forward pack around you?
Yeah, it's interesting. You just wonder. Of course, the Seagulls have re-signed Jake and Tom Trbojevic during the course of the week, as you wrote exclusively, Dino, $2 million. Who gets what? We wouldn't be dare to ask Jake about that, but I think we know which way that's going to go. So what do you pay your Adam Fanua Blakes and your Marty Tapau's, knowing that DCE's on 1.2 as well? That's the challenge for them.
There's $3 million, yes, for three players.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's fine. They deserve that. I'm not being critical of them. But you're going to have to start to put in like a Craig Bellamy-style roster where you're going to have your two or three absolute superstars.
Yes.
And the rest just have to fit in and around to get the roster pumping.
Morning, Adam.
Good morning, James. How are you?
Very well. What do you got for us today, sir?
Just talking about Ray and missing Ray. The only Ray you got to remember is Raymond Tusk.
Oh, you're not on board Raymond Tusk, are you?
I'm nearly saying it's as good as that as Noble Boyd today at Goulburn. But I can't say that because it'll just win. But, yeah, Raymond, I'm very confident, James.
Raymond Tusk is currently $15 hope. $15 hope. Out of barrier three, $15 hope. But D. Stanley, for those people playing along at home, D. Stanley all over it during the course of the week. So
yeah,
there you go. There you go.
I've got the $30, not $15.
You got the 30s. Well done. Well done.
And also, just another thing, everyone's talking about Latrell and that and saying he's a million.
Yes.
Yes, superstar when he wants to be.
Yes.
You want to play someone a million, I want to see 25 weeks a year, the same effort on effort on effort. He just doesn't do it.
Adam, if you were a coach and you had a bit of money, would you go after Latrell Mitchell personally? And if so, what would you pay him?
I wouldn't go above 800 if I was going to. If that's, I'd chase him to 800. If they were saying 1.1 or 1.2, I'd be, yeah, thanks, boys. Well, he wants to play 26 rounds at that level, at his effort, of a Cam Smith or, you know, just someone who actually puts in week in, out, week out, and is your best on ground, you know, 80% of the time. Yeah, sure, but, you know, not one in every five or six when he just goes bang and you go, wow, this kid is absolute, could be all-time great. But then 3 weeks later, you go, see if you can play for Moorpark Broncos this week.
Thank you, Adam. We do appreciate that. I think you'd be very strong in the Moorpark Broncos, no doubt about it. But that's the thing. What do you pay them? What do you pay them? And what outcome do you want from him? He's a very popular player with supporters. My young bloke's two favourite players at the Roosters, Tedesco and Latrell.
Latrell's got to think too, Jimmy, that he is in the Roosters system, which gets the best out of him on and off the field.
Absolutely.
He can go to another club, and it may not quite work out as what Latrell thinks. At
Absolutely.
The moment, Latrell might have to take a shave. It'll come back in due course, and it'll also come back through rep bonuses and
yes,
third parties, et cetera, et cetera. He's got to take that into account, that he's winning premierships. He goes somewhere else, that could vanish.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
Lionel, Samsung's celebrating 50 years.
Man walked on the moon 50 years ago.
That's some segue.
Imagine the picture on a Samsung TV.
I'm working on your segue.
How about a Bingley gift card valued up to $1,000 with any Samsung QLED TV 75 inches and above?
One small step for anyone buying Samsung QLED TV 75 inches and above.
One giant deal for everyone who buys a Samsung TV at Bingley.
A gift card worth up to $1,000 from Bingley.
Australian family owned for over 60 years.
Wide Line has a huge, stunning new showroom now open at Liverpool. That's where you'll find an impressive range of residential, designer, architectural and commercial windows and doors. Whether you're a home renovator, commercial builder, architect or designer, Wide Line custom manufactures and tailors to suit your needs. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, and over 6 days a week, Wide Line also has showrooms at Rosebery, Central Coast, Newcastle and Port Macquarie. There's never been a better time to take a closer look.
For some people, just missing it means running onto the platform and the doors close, right in your face. For others, it's backing a horse who misses the kick by three, that comes charging home and just misses by a nose. We're those people. And we're all happy that if your horse runs second or third in races 1-3 at Flemington and Randwick this Melbourne Cup Day, TAB gives us a bonus bid back up to $50. TAB, long may we play.
Excludes SA and WA residents. TAB account, fixed odds, win bets only. T's and C's at website. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Parada moved up now to Champagne Cuddles, Trekking with a big run late. Parada in front, 50 out from Trekking to Pride, but Parada up on the pace. Parada takes out the Red Zell Stakes. Great go the Miners, Trekking to Pride, Blue Remain.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
They weren't familiar colours yesterday. It was a familiar performance, though. We just heard Pia Rada absolutely outstanding in the Red Zell over 1,300 metres, and I reckon this bloke would be pretty happy with things. Greg Hickman, the trainer, joins us on the line. Morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
Congratulations on that win. Outstanding. And the other thing that struck me with the performance of Pia Rada yesterday was a lot closer to the action. What was the thoughts behind that?
Yeah, well, Tommy and I just had a talk about and had a look about what was going on, and he'd come up that he didn't think there was going to be run as quick as what he had to be, the race was going to be, so he said, we've got to put him in the race, and if we get caught three wide, we get caught three wide, and he said, I'm going to ride this horse like he's the best horse in the race, and that was our plan going into the race.
Greg, it's Dean Ritchie here, mate. Pia Rada ran in different colours yesterday, as Jimmy just alluded to. How did that feel? Was it a bit weird?
Yeah, Dean, it was. It was a bit crazy. Sort of with my colours, I seemed to pick them up pretty easy, but they were out in front, so it wasn't too bad. But that was just part of the negotiations we've gone on with Aquas, with the deals of sending the stud with Aquas next year, and... yeah, no, it was a bit crazy.
Yeah. Does it make you think back to the Everest and what might have been, Greg? That struggled to get a run in the straight during that one, but just showed again, yeah, what great finishing speed that this horse has.
Yeah, look, he's a wonderful horse, and I just felt sorry for him that we didn't get a crack at it. We mightn't have won, but we would have been a lot closer anyhow. So. Anyway, that's what you have to do in this game. You've got to take the wins and you've got to take the losses. So, yeah. But what I'm pretty proud about this horse, he can come from back, he can come from forward, he can come from anywhere, wet track, dry track. Yesterday was just a gutsy tradesman-like work win.
Greg, earnings now close to $5 million. Is that hard to get your head around?
For sure. Glad to come along while all these new races have been put in place. And it started off at the Magic Millions when we won the bonus up there and win $1.7 million up there. And then yesterday, $1.3 million. It's back when you were a little kid. I remember my dad said, see that bloke over there? He earns $100 a week. So life's changed around a fair bit.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? Just on that, you got the 750 bonus for running in the Everest and then winning the Red Zell. Is that that's right?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. The 1300 metres, Greg. I was interested in that. I think your comments before the race were that it's almost the ideal distance for Pia Rada because of that ability to sustain the speed.
Definitely, deep down, I think he can do anything he wants, but just how we've trained him and where the races we've had to go to, 12 to 1400 is actually his best distance.
Yeah, right. What's up next, mate? What's the plan moving forward?
I think we're going to sit down and have a meeting and see what we've got to do now that we've got Aquas on board. When it was beforehand, I just generally spoke to people through emails and that sort of thing, and this is where we're going, and they just call me coach, and the coach calls the calls, and we do what we've got to do. But it's a little bit different now with other things on the horizon, and it's just not nominate Monday, race Saturday. It's all about planning and where we can do, and there's just a lot more work to be done yet.
Yeah, right.
Now, Greg, they tell me you're a sneaky Roosters fan.
Oh, sneaky.
No, I'm not a sneaky Roosters fan. You know, I mean, I've been there for a long time, and the boys are playing some marvellous football the last couple of years, but they only give it to us when they run second to us.
very
not
good.
Often these days.
Hey, Gregory, well done yesterday, mate. Congratulations on that. An outstanding horse, and I think I speak on behalf of all punters. We'd love to see Pierrata continue with their racetrack career. And appreciate your time this morning, too.
Thanks, Jimmy.
There he is, Greg Hickman, the trainer of Pierrata. Another good win yesterday. $2.50, I think, was the price. But I know the couple in the punters club that got hold of that one, Dino. So they're very, very happy indeed. Wingman Beer, speaking of happy, they've got your back. They're so excited by the new Wingman mid-strength, 3.5%, crisp, clean, never bitter lager. They are putting out a challenge. You ever had the Wingman?
I haven't, Jimmy, but when you say crisp and clean, sounds very attractive.
Never bitter. Next time you pick up your regular beer, Dino, grab a single can of Wingman, 3.5%. Test it back-to-back with your beer, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back, and Wingman will refund your money.
Can I go to every bottle and see me?
See, you and your mate Laurie Daly jumped to these conclusions immediately. He thought, why don't I go around to every...
He's got issues, that boy.
And get myself a free Wingman. Anyway, go to wingmanbeer.com.au to see where they've landed. And if you can't find it at your local, give them a call on 1300 45 beer, or go to danmurphys.com.au. That's danmurphys.com.au. This is a massive breakthrough, and they will deliver it for free. Take the Wingman challenge today. Enjoy responsibly.
Exceedance back to the inside, chasing Bivouac, then Libertini. Bivouac at the 100. Exceedance wearing him down. So much at stake, then Libertini. Bivouac grabbed by Exceedance, who drops them. And Exceedance from the cool ball. Exceedance beat Bivouac, Libertini.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Oh, they call it the Stallion Maker, Dino, and there were two colts fighting it out in the end. Absolutely outstanding performance from Exceedance, and the stable representative, Wayne Hawkes, was down there at Flemington. He's been good enough to join us on the line today. G'day, Wayne.
Morning, boys.
Congratulations. Outstanding. And the performance, the speed, the sustained speed from Exceedance. So I guess that's the type of victory that you can only dream of.
Well, it is, and what you said is right. It's I think that, you know, to be fair, the Cornwall Guineas was the stallion making race. You know, now I think it's more the Golden Rose and the Coolmore. So you've got the Golden Rose winner with 300 to go in front of us. And I'm thinking, not you again. You'd be a bloody pain in the backside when I saw the spring. And when I saw him, I just went, not you again. It's he just dug deep, and Dwayne Dunner was a super wide, because he got crunched out by the barriers. Most times when you cop a your short back at sides, it's probably the end of your race. So it certainly played into our hands a bit. And I think obviously getting the bump and then, you know, being a wet track obviously helped. But I think on a dry track we would have been just as effective. And I know we beat Bivouac on a wet track in Sydney, and he probably didn't handle it as well. But I thought Bivouac, to be fair, ran out of his skin. And I think the most important thing was that the form was frank, and all these colts, and last time, yes, us, he ran in between us and Bivouac. So it shows you there's not much between these three colts.
Yeah.
It's going to build for a pretty bloody good autumn, I reckon, for the boys.
Well, Wayne, how do you do it? Another well-bred colt exceeds into a commercial stallion. You just keep doing it.
Oh, I've got two foremans called John and Michael. That always helps.
Look, it's what our model is and it's what we do. To be fair and you know, I'm thinking, but you know what? I'll just say it. I mean, Brutal got the job done for us at Doncaster, and then he's got a home at Newgate, and obviously this bloke's owned by Vinery, so there won't be a sale involved. But to have two horses, realistically, that probably going to go to the Hunter Valley this time next year and be serving, it's a special feeling. It's always good when you go to the yearling sales down the track and you see an all too hard and you see a deep field. I mean, I was screaming for alligator blood in the Caulfield Guineas. Should have won. He's by all too hard. And unfortunately, the man riding him just took off a bit too early and he should have won a Caulfield Guineas. So they're it sounds a bit sucky, but they're a bit like your kids. And, yes. you see the positive win. It's a special feeling, and that's what our model is. Our model is mainly colts, and people give us big, expensive colts, and you try and turn them into these sort of horses and to win these sort of races.
Yeah,
it's what all the breeders want. So it was a special day for us yesterday.
Nah, great to see a battler like Neil Werrett finally get a break, which is fantastic. Hey, Wayne, what about the performance of Brutal in the Iron Jack Golden Eagle? And give us your perspective being down there in Melbourne and what was happening on course at Flemington during the running of the Golden Eagle.
Yeah, well, there, you know, I mean, it was... look, all these races that have been run in Sydney, everyone's been cheering the hell out of them. There's no buts and maybes. So it was obviously a tremendous race. And you know what, for Colding to win at Frank's, the Epsom handicap form and everything like that. So, you know, to be fair, you don't want a 33-1 pot winning and blowing everyone away and everyone questioning it. It was, if I couldn't win, it was certainly a good result for Colding to win because it just showed that there's your form line. But it certainly wasn't one of Tommy's better rides. We were pretty disappointed with how it went down. He had his chance, and what he should have done was just done a Glenn Boss and a Doncaster, just come bushing straight across the sunlight and then had his chance. But it was certainly his worst career start. And, you know, as I said, you treat these colts like they're your kids, and, you know, like you love them to death. And, you know, you take it pretty hard when they get beat. You don't mind getting beat when you're fair and square and you get every chance.
Yeah,
we were pretty disappointed with how we handled this, though, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I understand, mate. Hey, congratulations though. Some positive news, actually more than positive, outstanding news down there at Flemington yesterday with Exceedance, and appreciate your time this morning, Wayne.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Wayne Hawks, part of Team Hawks. A brilliant day for them, as you mentioned, Dino. Just turning really well-bred colts into commercial stallions. It's what they're renowned for. 1353 53 is the open line number. Now Raymond's down in Melbourne, but the show must go on here, and the show goes on with Tanya. We say
indeed.
Good morning for the first time, and she's got the scratchings around the country.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Goulburn and Muswellbrook, and we have Cairns in Queensland. Starting with Goulburn, the weather is overcast. The track a good four. The rail is out 3 metres the entire course. Penetrometer 4.8 and 16 scratchings. Race one, take out 2, Gunzar and 7, Beans, 2 and 7. Race two, number 1, St. Ambrose, number 1. From race three, number 5, Tri-Nations, 7, Stiller, and 11, Triest, 5, 7 and 11. Race four, take out 5, Burnson, 6, Mohican, and 11, Sheer Madness, 5, 6, 11. Race 5, number 11, Deffy, number 11. From race 6, number 7, Art of Dance, number 7. Race 7, take out 8, Liz Dumvana, 9, Thy Kingdom Come, and 11, Al Shanaki, 8, 9, and 11. And race 8, number 6, Pride of Darcy, and 12, V8. 6 and 12 from race 8 at Goulburn. Muswellbrook, the weather is fine. The track a good four. The rail is out 3 metres from the 1,000 to the 300 where cutaway applies, and there are 21 scratchings. Race one, take out 13, Zioli's Ying, number 13. Race two, number 2, Young Cranich. 4, Gwen Lian. 7, Aita. 11, Love's a Hit. 13, Shimmering Light. And 15, Who Called the Cops? 2, 4, 7, 11, 13 and 15. Race 3, number 1, Achi Baba and 8, Tormund, 1 and 8. From race 4, number 1, Smart Move, number 1. Race 5, number 2, Yulong Shenhu, 5, Hubble and 9, Sir Clooney. 2, 5 and 9 from race 5. Race 6, number 3, Most Exalted and Sing 6, King Hewitt, 3 and 6. And out of race 7, number 1, Fearless Mila, 7, One More Legend, 8, Sniper Excels, 9, Cash Factor, 10, All Hollywood and 11, Bensei, 1, 7, 8, 9, 10 and 11 from race 7 at Muswellbrook. And to Cairns, this information was updated yesterday. So the weather was overcast. The track a good 4. The rail is true. Penetrometer 5.04 and just the 2 scratchings at the moment. And they both come out of race 6. Number 3, Media Vita and 7, Macarios. 3 and 7 from race 6 at Cairns. Boys.
Thank you, Tanya. We do appreciate that. Hey, we've got an SMS coming in here. Oh, you've got...
I've got a couple of tips for Ray, if you want.
Oh, of course,
Jimmy.
It's a well-oiled machine,
gone,
isn't it?
But forgotten.
Here we go. So, What's he like?
At Goulburn, race 2, number 3, Our Fun. Race 2, number 3 at Goulburn. And at Muswellbrook, race 2, also number 1, Bandahara. Race 2, number 1, Bandahara at Muswellbrook.
Thank you, Tan. Thank you, Raymond. We'll put those out on social media. There's an SMS that's come in here and says, what was the name of the horse that caller tipped? That was Adam, so take it at your own peril. It's at Goulburn today. Sam from Wollongong. He's gone for Noble Boy over Handle the Truth. So I think they're $2.90 and $3.10 in the market. So Noble Boy at $3.10. Of course, Handle the Truth was the Kosciuszko winner a couple of weeks ago. So high-quality race at Goulburn today. 13:53:53, the open line number. We've got the news coming up now. After the news, we'll have a chat with Zorba. We'll speak to Raymond down there in Melbourne, and we'll look forward to getting involved in the quiz too. Apparently, I was rorted last week as well when I wasn't here, but that's no surprise.
Sarah Warmby, a police officer has been injured during a struggle with an offender at a petrol station in Queensland. Officers were arresting the man at Logan Central late last night in relation to a public nuisance issue when a physical struggle broke out. A female officer sustained a fractured ankle and was transported to hospital for treatment. The man was eventually arrested and has been charged with numerous offences. The Northern Territory's Health Department says a Darwin resident has been infected with measles while on a trip to Cambodia. The local resident visited several places while infectious. The Health Department says people known to have been in contact with the person have been approached to receive booster immunisation. A female cyclist is in a serious condition in hospital after a collision in Adelaide's north last night. The 32-year-old collided with a car on Curtis Road at Manopara just before 9. She was rushed to the Royal Adelaide Hospital with serious head injuries. Police say the car driver was taken to hospital as a precaution. It's Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, and we're being warned just 1 in 10 patients will survive the disease. The prognosis of the cancer has remained unchanged for more than 30 years. It's expected to be the second highest cause of cancer mortality in Australia by 2030. Medical oncologist Lorraine Chantrell says while it is a difficult subject to talk about, we need to start more discussions.
This is a cancer that has such poor survival rates, we need to do more work and more research. And the people that I encounter with this disease are so willing to help us with our research. They're very keen to try to improve outcomes.
Western Australian sailing legend John Sanders is about to head off on his 11th solo world circumnavigation. It's expected the voyage will take about 9 to 12 months for the now 80-year-old adventurer when he leaves from Fremantle today. Mr. Sanders will take water samples from the world's oceans, which will be tested for plastics. Western Australian Minister for Water Dave Kelly says the research is important.
Plastics do have a huge impact on our environment, and in particular the oceans. He's an extraordinary West Australian, and I wish him all good luck and a safe passage.
US firefighters are continuing to battle a fierce blaze in Southern California. Steve Futterman reports.
Overnight here, much of the fire laid down. There are still some hot spots that crews are keeping an eye on. Troy Swickard is a battalion chief with Ventura County Fire.
Things are looking good. We are out picking up any of the issues that haven't been addressed, and everybody is mobilized to get into the areas that might be impacted.
We are not seeing much smoke. That's a good sign, but fire crews are on alert if the winds pick up again. The forecast calls for minimal winds. That's something fire crews will welcome.
And thousands of people have joined rallies across Hong Kong as pressure mounts in relation to forthcoming elections and the continued crackdown by mainland China. Protesters have clashed with police at several locations. One protester was severely injured when a tear grenade exploded on his back, causing severe third-degree burns. It's the 22nd week of protests in the city. This is Air News. Western United has beaten Melbourne Victory 3-2 in the A-League match at Marvel Stadium. Victory slammed home two early goals, but United scored the next three to win. Victory coach Marco Kerr says the side seemed to lose confidence after United scored their first comeback goal.
For me, it's more the point what was the reason after the first goal from Western United. What was the reason? We lost a little bit the confidence, the belief and the trust in our game because the start was, what I said, you can't start better.
In the English Premier League today, Winston Bournemouth, Liverpool, Manchester City, Newcastle, Sheffield United and Brighton. The Springboks have defeated England 32-12 in the Rugby Union World Cup final in Japan, claiming their third Webb Ellis Cup. The loss marks England coach Eddie Jones' second defeat in a World Cup final. Tonga has created history coming from behind to defeat Australia 16-12 for the first time ever in rugby league. It's the Kangaroos' first loss to a non-tier one nation in 41 years. The Sydney Kings edged past the Adelaide 36ers, winning 98-96 in overtime in the NBL. In the other game, Melbourne United defeated South East Melbourne 110-98. And the field has been finalised for Tuesday's Melbourne Cup with the barrier draw taking place at Flemington. Caulfield Cup winner Murder Glass is the favourite for the big race after drawing barrier two. Australian Independent Radio News.
This is Sky Sports Radio, heard throughout New South Wales, including Casino, 87.6 FM, Murrurundi, 98.5 FM, Kilston, 87.6 FM, and Dubbo on 90.3 FM. To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
Mum, are we doing free full service delivery on fridges?
You read my email, Lionel.
Yes.
Our customers love it.
Okay, so any customer that comes into Bing Lee and spends over $600 on a fridge will get free delivery, free connection, plus removal of the old fridge.
That's not flight, are you, Lionel?
Spend over $600 on a fridge and get free full service delivery.
At Bing Lee.
Australian family owned for over 60 years. Conditions apply.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
The BCFing 20 to 50% off store-wide sale is on this weekend. 2 days only, so don't just sit there. Exclusions apply. In Stanmore, we've got a tree fallen onto Stanmore Road near Middleton Street. It's affecting westbounders. Various road closures from Tempe to Heathcote this morning for the Big MS bike ride. Access to the Royal National Park is via Farnell Avenue, Loftus only. And local roads in Bondi, Tamarama and Bronte are closed all one way only for the Sculpture by the Sea. Come home to comfort this summer with LG Split System air conditioners, complete with built-in Wi-Fi and control with Google Assistant on the go. LG, life's good. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, interstate weather.
Seriously, where's Raymond when you need him? Anyway, Sydney, maximum today of 27 degrees, possible thunderstorm. Showers in Melbourne, 22. Brisbane, mostly sunny, 27 degrees. Perth is 22. Adelaide, 20. By the way, did you know we now go to Queensland, Northern Territory, South Australia and Tasmania, as well as all around New South Wales, Dino?
Doesn't surprise me at all.
That's right. Adelaide, 21. Canberra, possible thunderstorm, 23. Hobart, late shower and 20. And Darwin, mostly sunny, 33 degrees.
Real. And Fiji are successful with it. This man's been good. He's doubling it up as well with a dive. It's Kiko in underneath the crossbar.
The goal. Kubasa check up. Here
Here he goes, Roger. Went to Beach. Oh, the offload was absolutely brilliant. Jermaine Asako with the try. And what a ripper.
Tokyo was only a metre short of the line.
39 in the second half.
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Some incredible results last night across rugby union, rugby league, multiple rugby league results. In fact, Dean Bulldog Ritchie is in the hot seat because Ray Thomas is down in Melbourne. No surprise about that. Raymond's a very busy time of the year for him. But, Dino, what about some of those games that we witnessed last night? Just incredible.
Yeah, Jimmy, I enjoyed them. I thought Great Britain again. Missed out. We're trying to promote the English Super League. We're wanting them to be strong. Yet here we have a combined Great Britain Lions team
yes.
who have now lost back-to-back games while Tonga is winning. I mean, where does rugby league stand in England at the moment when you've got them being beaten in successive weeks and a team like Tonga winning in successive weeks? I mean, have they gone past the Poms in terms of status in international rugby league?
Well,
you'd have to say yes.
The form line's not too bad, because if you look at that, they Tongan Invitational 14 points to 6 over Great Britain, 16 points to 12 over Australia, New Zealand 12-8 over the Great Britain Lions yesterday, Fiji 44, Samoa 18 in the earlier match as well. But look, just on that, the bad news for Bulldogs fans is that there's another injury for Kieran Foran very early on in that game too. Have you got an update on that, Dino?
Yeah, dislocated shoulder, Jimmy. It was in the first 5 minutes.
Yep.
I think it was Kieran's first test since 2017. Of course, he missed 8 weeks during the season with other injuries. Look, he's having scans today. If it's minimal damage, Jimmy, they're hoping just for rehab, 3 to 6 weeks, which would be the best possible result, clearly.
Yes.
If it's significant damage, though, it could be a reconstruction, surgery, and that could be 3 to 6 months. And given my arithmetic, that would put us through to the 5th month next year, which is May. So that would be devastating for Kieran Foran. And just given the amount of injuries that Foran has sustained and had to fight back from, you do question, Jimmy, when does the fight finish? And when does his battle conclude in terms of, I just can't take any more of this?
South Africa 32, England 12 in a Rugby World Cup final. Again, a major upset there. The scrum was targeted by South Africa with great success. We'll take your thoughts on that. 13:53:53. Wingman beer to give away to the best contribution today. And the General Chow's, the $250 voucher, Dino. That's for the person that makes us think a little bit outside the square.
So can we take our Wingman beer to the restaurant?
Oh, it's a very good question. I'm not sure.
And if you can do that,
yes,
then you're starting to cook with gas.
There you go. 13:53:53, the Apple Line number. A big hour coming up. I said we'll speak to Raymond. We'll have the event cinemas quiz and Gerard Daffy from tab.com.au. But right now, time to have a chat with Zorba, who I think is going to start with a Greek lesson today. Morning, Zorb.
Kalimera. Timiodemos. That's a Latin phrase.
Yes.
Written by Virgil between 29 and 19 BC.
And it's
paraphrased in English as the proverb, beware of Greeks bearing gifts. And that's the first thought that came to my mind when Peter Vlandis promised the world this week to rugby league. He's going to fix the refereeing crisis.
Yes.
Fix suburban ground, starting with Brookie. Guarantee future for every existing club. Guarantees no team will be relocated. Strengthen and grow grassroots. Save bush footy. Wow. The Greek Messiah is here.
All right. Where's he start?
Well, he says he's going to start with the referees, but that's a pretty big hurdle.
Yeah.
He's got to back it up now, and we've got to tick off the boxes, and journalists like that little red-headed freckled thing sitting next to you will keep him up to the mark. There's no doubt about that, because that's what they do. That's what they do. I mean, We've read and heard in recent times about how Jake and Tom Trbojevic were going to go to Belmore. They were going to make this massive offer. The boys disregarded that and said they weren't going there, but the kites were still flying. Well, as Bulldog wrote this week, they're staying right where they were, right where we all knew they were going to stay. And now the kites go up about Latrell Mitchell. Will he cop $800,000? to play with the mighty premiers, the Roosters, or go to the basket case that is the Bulldogs for 1.1, 1.2. I think if he's well advised, he'll stay put.
Azor, what does it mean to Manly that Trbojevic brother's staying? And with Cherry on $1 million, you've got three players on $3 million. Mm. How will Dez manage his salary cap moving forward when you've got three big players on big coin?
Pretty simple. It's the Melbourne method. You pay your top players what their marketplace value is because you don't have a side without them. And the rest of them, they know that they're going to play with a top side and they have to cop what's left. And the rest of the pie is split up, and that's the way Dez is going to do it. I think it'll work. They've got a top side now. They don't need to bring in too many players. Maybe a hooker will be brought in, but I can't see anyone else, and they'll fit it in under the cap. Dez is happy about that. I think he's done a very good job negotiating this. I know you've been following it closely. The fans must wonder, though, and if I'm employing people to give the right mail out, I would be checking off how many of the stories are right from certain people that fly these kites. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now we're finding out that Brodie Croft may stay in Melbourne after he's had meetings with Seibold, he's had private coffees that we've honed in on, and all of the drama, and he may stay put.
Who are you going at here? Oh, by the way, can I throw two words at you for Tom and Jake?
Yeah.
Back-ended.
No.
Is Dez up to his old tricks again?
No, they won't let him do that.
Right. Well, that's wise.
Yeah, it is wise.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So I'm just wondering, and I asked you last week, so Dylan Walker and Adam Fanua-Blake and Marty Tapau, and just wonder what they're going to do.
Well, Dylan's taken under what he got.
Right.
And because he wants to stay there. Adam signed some time ago, and Marty signed some time ago, even though some reports have them not contracted when they've all agreed and signed.
Okay. Okay. What did you make of the massive upset? Arguably, I think they went back to 1978. You probably covered that game, 11-10, France over the Kangaroos. That was the last time a team outside of New Zealand, England, Great Britain beat the Kangaroos.
Yeah, I was absolutely disgusted with the performance by Australia. I thought they were poorly prepared. I think they played like they wanted to get the full time so they'd go and have a holiday. And this is what you get when you get international matches played at the end of a long domestic season. Full marks to Tonga. I thought they came ready to play, and Australia didn't. They didn't have any tactics in the game. There was no pattern of play. I thought poor games from Clemmer, Munster, Cherry Evans, Latrell Mitchell. They were awful. Australia had no pattern of play. Cherry Evans running wide, turning inside to Tyson Frizzell time and time again.
Yeah.
They lapped it up. The Tongans, they loved it. It was interesting that the best players for Tonga included Ben Murdoch Masella, who has really improved since he's gone to Warrington.
Yeah, good player.
And he played outstandingly well. But two casts off, really, in Connie Hurrell, who'd been to the Warriors and the Titans and is now with the Leeds Rhinos. Lola Hia, who was sacked by the West Tigers, went overseas, got sacked by the Leeds Rhinos,
yep.
Went and joined Salford and teamed up with Hastings there. And they were the stars of the win yesterday. I thought they were outstanding, along with Will Hopewadi, who just continues to be one of the most consistently good players at every level of the game.
Yep.
It doesn't say a lot about Mal Meninga. He doesn't have a lot to do in a season. But Australia played like strangers. There was no passion for the jersey. They just wanted full time to come. I don't know whether it's too easy for Mal these days, but that side was not prepared well. And I don't know what his excuses could be, but That was a poor game. I see where a couple of our great internationals in Fittler and Andrew Johns have said they disrespected the jersey, which is a pretty big claim to make, and they're entitled to make it. They've worn it with great passion and pride.
Now, Jimmy, I must tell you, Zorba and I had a bit of a jostle during the week.
What, physical?
No, because he would have sat on me. But I claimed Sam Burgess was right up there with the finest Englishman to come to Australia, and Zorba went back to Malcolm Reilly. And I've got no beef with that.
He always does.
But I said, Zorba, it's time for you to stop living in the past and concede that the modern-day players can be rated among the finest. Why won't you concede that, Zorba?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I played with and watched the great Malcolm Reilly, something that you couldn't have done because of your age. And I can't find, I consider it wrong that people that didn't see people play then come to the conclusion that suddenly the players of today are better. I maintain that Malcolm Reilly is the best forward to come from England to play in the Australian competition.
Where do you rate Sam then, Zorba? You've seen them all.
Yeah, I think he's right up there. He's probably in the top three. But when it comes to, and it's interesting, I was in the Gold Coast this week at a very private and outstanding dinner in which Bob Fulton, his wife, my wife, and myself took Ken Arthurson and his wife Barbara out. We wanted to just pay him a tribute for his 90th birthday. And we got to talking about Malcolm Reilly. And Ken Arthurson was the man that brought Malcolm Reilly to Australia. And I asked him the question, Sam Burgess or Malcolm Reilly? He said straight away, he said, Malcolm's the best forward I've seen. Bob Fulton, who's coached Australia and is an immortal, said the same thing. Great player, Sam Burgess, but Malcolm Reilly was the gun.
You understand there's a bias associated with you and Arco and Bozo talking about Mal Reilly, though, right?
Not really. I mean, we've all had an intimate knowledge of the man.
Right.
I mean, you talk about toughness. There's none tougher than Malcolm Reilly.
I understand that. Hang on, you've got to admire the toughness of Sam Burgess too. He can't do anything.
But he wouldn't have stood over Malcolm. I'll tell you that.
All right.
He wouldn't have stood over Malcolm. And when it comes to skill, I haven't seen Sam Burgess chip and chase. I haven't seen Sam Burgess.
He's not allowed to.
Pardon?
He's not allowed to.
Well, what do you mean he's not allowed to?
What would the coach do if Sam Burgess jumped out and did a chip and chase?
Well, if he could do it well, he would let him do it.
Oh, when was the last time you saw anyone chip and chase?
Malcolm Reilly.
Zorba, who's your Melbourne Cup tip?
You know what? For the first time in my life, I can't get wrapped in it. All the international horses, I think the takings will be down. I'll be interested to get Ray Thomas to look at it next week. But, I mean, there's that many overseas visitors that we've got no line on their form. I thought, and talking of Peter Vlantis, I thought that was a brilliant promotion again yesterday at Rose Hill, the Golden Eagle, taking on the greatest day in Australian racing history for years and years and years. It's always been Derby Day.
Yes.
It's been the day where people have flocked to Flemington.
Yep.
Well, you know, he's taken them on there, and I hope he does the same thing in rugby league. I like Constantinople, only because it's a horse that I've followed a bit, but no, I'm struggling.
I thought you were going to say...
I'll be working tomorrow on it, though.
Okay, I thought you were going to say because it's near Greece, but anyway...
Well, it is.
Yeah, that's right. Good on you, Zorb. Enjoy that, and good luck with Constantinople or whichever other horse you find tomorrow in your homework.
Kalimera.
There he is, Zorba. His thoughts on the game of rugby league. We'll take your thoughts on his thoughts. 13:53:53. We needed a bit of help with the Melbourne Cup, so we've got two of the best in the business coming up. Ray Thomas from Melbourne, and I believe Lizzie Jelfs is here for some TV commitments. He's going to pop in for a couple of minutes and help out the listeners with their Melbourne Cup tips as well. All that coming up next.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant, or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
In the courtyard of a pub, some people get to talking and decide to split a bag of peanuts or go halves in a bowl of chips. Others consider sharing something bigger, like a cheese board. Then there are those who go, how about everybody chips in and buys a racehorse? They soon realise that's unlikely. So they get excited about taking out a group quaddie together instead. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Lionel, Samsung's celebrating 50 years.
Man walked on the moon 50 years ago.
That's some segue.
Imagine the picture on a Samsung TV.
I'm working on your segue.
How about a Bingley gift card valued up to $1,000 with any Samsung QLED TV 75 inches and above?
One small step for anyone buying Samsung QLED TV 75 inches and above.
One giant deal for everyone who buys a Samsung TV at Bingley.
A gift card worth up to $1,000 from Bingley.
Australian family owned for over 60 years.
Here comes Cross Counter. Cross Counter coming at Marbello. Cross Counter's flying. The Blue Army have done it at last. Cross Counter has won the Melbourne Cup from Marbello, a Prince of Aaron Finch.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Look, surprisingly, Zorba actually did make a very pertinent point in that previous. Yeah, I know. It was a bit of an anomaly there, but he did say lining up the form of these horses is very difficult. Now, we've got a new caller on the line. It's Ray, going to call us in from Werribee, which we're looking forward to. But before we get to that, we're very lucky to have a special guest. Lizzie Jelfs is here for some TV commitments. I would describe her, Dino, as Sky Racing's number one analyst and form expert. She's joining us on the program right now. Morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Yes, it's an impromptu special appearance that I'm on here today, but lovely to be here.
And we've got our caller there, Raymond from Werribee. Good morning, Ray.
Hi, James. Good morning. How are you? Hi, Dino. Hi, Lizzie.
Hello, Ray.
All right. Before we get to you, Ray, and I know Lizzie's got commitments, but we just wanted a little bit of help because now that the Golden Eagle is over and Derby Day's run and won, we want to turn our attention very clearly to the Melbourne Cup, but we're having some difficulty in lining up some form. Lizzie, can you please help?
Well, you wouldn't be the only one who has some difficulty lining up the form because we haven't seen a lot of these horses who are in this race. So their exposed form is very difficult to weigh up in comparison to what we're looking at in Australian, you know, terms of racing. So personally, I can't tip any of these horses that I haven't seen. I'm going with the form that I have seen. I'm looking at horses that, you know, Murder Glass, who I saw in the Caulfield Cup, obviously Constantinople as well.
Yes.
Prince of Aaron, he's having a 10 times better preparation in comparison to last prep, his last Melbourne Cup preparation. The fact that he's not running 3 days out from a Melbourne Cup, the fact that he's had that Geelong Cup 2 weeks into it, and it was an excellent time as well. And we've seen that Geelong form really stand up.
Okay, so Prince of Aaron is a $21 chance for the tab. So based on that, what you're saying is you really go in with a caveat, let the buyer beware around anything you do because of that difficulty in assessing these international runners.
Yeah, now that we are going into races where there's much better betting prospects as far as you're looking at the Everest, the Golden Eagle, any other feature race, the Derby, you know, I'm not saying it's a Melbourne-Sydney thing, but we want to see the exposed form. If, as a punter, you want to see a horse before and you want to be able to be parting with your money, and it's an educated guess, not an uneducated guess.
If there's one thing we need here on a Sunday morning, it's an education. So, Lizzie, can you give us your 1, 2, 3 and maybe your roughie, please?
Yeah, okay. So, look, in no particular order, I would love to see Prince of Arran win, and I think that he has, as I said, has had a better preparation, so I'm going to put him on top. If Murder Glass stays the distance, which is obviously the first time he's going to be tried over at Hitzer, it's almost a put-in, put-out type of performance from the Caulfield Cup into him. I'm going to add in Constantinople as well, who I've had a great deal of respect for, and his form over in Europe against Logician. He's backed it up with a good Caulfield Cup run. He's trained by my old boss, so give him strength. I hope he's able to get over the line. And Southern France, who comes out of very similar form references. But I know there's an array of horses. I won't go without mentioning Il Paradiso, who's that very similar profile to last year's winner. He obviously he lightly raced, and he's that type of horse that can certainly perform at his peak. But Prince of Arran for me.
Prince of Arran for you. All right, thank you very much. We do appreciate that.
You're
coming
welcome.
In at very short notice. And good luck on Cup Day.
Yes, we're going to need it.
And let's go to our caller down there at Werribee is Ray. Hello, Ray.
James, hey, isn't Lizzie a star? And I think she's nailed it too, boys, because it is so hard to line a lot of these horses up with the Australian form. And, you know, I love my stats, Jimmy and Dan. Yeah. Here's a couple for you. There's 11 Northern Hemisphere trained stays in the field. Another Southern France is now with a local stable that has raced down under. And there is no fewer than 20 horses in the Cup who are bred in the Northern Hemisphere. There's two from Australia and two from New Zealand. So they're here in numbers, they're here in force, and I think the odds are the Cup goes overseas again.
Mm. Right. Given what you've just said, it's a very famous Australian race. Do we like this many internationals? Does it give it a global flavour? Or would you prefer to see it kept more internally?
It's a vexed question, you know, one that comes up every year because we get this invasion, if I use that word, of European stays. And you can understand why. When you're racing for $8 million, in Europe they're racing for buttons in most of their feature staying races, so to speak. So the money is just impossible to ignore. I remember the late, great Bart Cummings many years ago said often, at this time of year, they need to put a cap on the internationals. Look, I think to a certain extent, Bart was right, but how do you do that in the modern world? Boys, you really can't, because if these English trainers and owners want to take the chance, and Irish trainers and others from Europe want to take the chance in bringing their horses down under, more strength to them. We wouldn't deny Roger Federer or Rafael Nadal a chance to play in the Australian Tennis Open. So, look, I think at the end of the day, it has taken the Melbourne Cup to a new level in terms of its global appeal. Mm. But what it has done is made it so much more difficult to bet on. And I think we've seen those trends in recent years where betting on the Cup has actually gone down, because I think a lot of punters just find it too hard to line up some of these overseas horses.
Raymond, you mentioned putting $8 million on offer for a race. What if you put $7.5 million on offer, did it for the first time, put it out in the Golden West of Sydney and hoped that people would turn up? How would you be feeling this morning?
Well, if you were there yesterday, Jim, I remember you went to a Golden Slipper a few years ago and you said you couldn't believe the electricity in the air that day when you're at Rose Hill.
Yes.
It was like that yesterday, and there was just over 20,000 there, and it was, the atmosphere was fantastic. A roar went up when the field jumped for the Golden Eagle, but the cheers in the straight, because that was one hell of a horse race. It was an extraordinary contest, and it was literally the charge of the Light Brigade about 200 metres out, and the crowd was roaring. And I was actually talking to Glenn Boss about this last night, and he said the atmosphere in Sydney this spring is nothing he's seen for many, many years. He rode full-time in Sydney, the last time was 10 years ago, and he said back then Sydney was, in his words, almost going through the motions. It's a totally different vibe and feel about it now, and whether you think that's a good or bad thing in relation to the Melbourne Spring Carnival is a different debate. But in terms of, was yesterday successful? Absolutely. Was yesterday going to continue to be successful? On the evidence of what we've seen, Jim, I think for sure, because it was such a memorable race day.
Just on that, Ray, and as revealed exclusively on this program last week, what was the text message to Glenn Boss? And did Kieran McAvoy and Tommy Berry and Brent Navdala, Robbie Darwin, did they get one?
You'll never let me live that one down, will you, Jim? Oh, you're too good. The problem, Dino, when you work with Jimmy, is you've got a memory like an elephant. He forgets nothing.
Hang on, it was last week. I can't forget that.
He'll bring it up from years ago now, you trust me. So, but look, great day there. And look, unfortunately, Glenn has missed out on a ride in the Melbourne Cup, hasn't he, boys, with Constantinople. That's gone to Joe Maria, and certainly very hard to beat Constantinople. And but Lizzie's right, trying to line up a lot of these internationals is so difficult because many of them haven't raced yet. Murder Glace is such an interesting horse, isn't he? Because normally we look at the Caulfield Cup and we think traditionally that is the best form reference going into a Melbourne Cup. And he was as impressive a Caulfield Cup winner as we've seen for some years. That turn of foot was electric.
Yes.
He was penalised 1 kilo. He goes up to 56. He's never been over 3,200 metres before. It's a whole new pain barrier. But like, the key to his chances was the soft gate. He'll get tucked up on the fence there and get a lovely run. He won't have to spend any excess energy, so he'll get the chance to run the trip right out. And as I said, his Caulfield Cup win was so impressive. He's top three for mine.
Mm. All right, give us your others, mate. Who's your winner? You might have told us just there. Who's your winner? Who's your roughie?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going for Finch on top from Cross Counter and Murder Glace. I think Finch has had the perfect prep. And if you remember last year, he ran a very good fourth in the Melbourne Cup as an inexperienced younger stale, obviously. He goes into the Cup with the same weight this year. I dare say his form's been better. He's running the Caulfield Cup, I thought, was outstanding. He covered so much extra ground. He was still there at the 200-metre mark. He's only been beaten a couple of lengths into fifth spot. Murder Glace has to give him 2 kilos over 3,200 metres. We know Finch will run a strong 3,200 metres. And I think he's the horse to beat because Cross Counter, as good as he is at 2 miles, and he's just a star over this trip. He won the Dubai Gold Cup earlier this year after winning the Melbourne Cup last year. But remember, in the Melbourne Cup last year, he carried 51. He's got 57.5 kilos on Tuesday, a 6.5 kg increase. He might be good enough to do it. A lot of good judges say he can, but I just think that weight turnaround is really in Finch's favour. I've gone Finch from Cross Counter and Murder Glace, and I think the best roughie is right down at the bottom of the weights horse. Boys, a horse called Young Star.
Mm.
She ran the Cup last year. She ran sixth. She'd been out of form for a while, but her last run of St. Ledger shows she's on the way back. Terrific lightweight chance. I think she's good each way odds at $51. And then take your pick of the internationals, boys. It's just too hard to line up.
Yeah.
Hey, Ray, how many Melbourne Cups will this be for you? And over the changing landscape of racing over many years, has the adulation for the Cup increased or diminished?
It's a really interesting point, Dean, because we're certainly in changing times now, and there's a lot more competition for the entertainment dollar, for the wagering dollar, and there's other sports now which the younger people probably like more than horse racing. But Melbourne Cup does still stop the nation, doesn't it? So it's a traditional, it's tradition, isn't the Melbourne Cup, and it's always going to have a special place in the heart of most Australians. And to answer you, the first part of your question, Dean, my first Cup for the telly was 1994, so this is a quarter of a century.
25 years.
How time flies.
Yeah. Raymond, just on that, you did give us our talk topic today, favourite Melbourne Cup moment. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, we haven't been inundated with much, but anyway, we did get this from Lenny Sparty on Twitter. When I walked out of an early meeting on Cup Day and sitting in the gutter with a $50 note, obviously this was meant to be, so I plonked it on my pick. My pick rang 16th. For your information, Tab don't pay out on 16th. Good memories. So, what about you, Raymond? Favourite Melbourne Cup memory?
Can I have a dead heat, Jim?
Go for it.
Okay, 2002 media puzzle. I didn't back the winner, but just because of the emotion and what Dame Oliver went through in the week leading up to the Cup for the death of his brother Jason back in a barrier trial in Perth. And to be there that day when he won the Melbourne Cup on media puzzle just 6 days later, there wasn't a dry eye at Flemington. It was an extraordinary moment, not just in racing, but in Australian sport. I'll never forget that.
Yes.
And also to be there in 2005, I think everyone backed Maccabi Diva just for sentiment's sake, going for the three-peat. And when she did it, it was an extraordinary moment, and I know I'll never see anything like that again. So I think those two definitely stand out.
Now, Raymond, just before we let you go, we've got a caller on the line here, Tommy from Caringbah, who wants to have a chat about Linda Meach and Michelle Payne controversy during the course of the week. So you mind staying on?
Yeah, no problem, mate. Yeah.
All right, we'll go to caller Tommy. You there, Tom?
Yeah, Jimmy.
What do you got for us this morning, mate?
Hey, mate, do you think after what Linda Mooch said about that horse in that race yesterday after being given the sack off it, do you think she'll ever get another ride to the Ma Eustace stable?
Raymond?
Maybe for Ma and Eustace, but whether she does for the ownership group might be a different thing, because I think her comments were directed more towards the principal owner, Bray Sikorsky, and probably regrettable. I think she definitely regrets saying that now, and the whole incident probably was one that was, I think, all parties, you know, probably would think twice about what they said and how they reacted to it, because at the end of the day, guys, this happens almost every day and every week in horse racing. Jockey changes, owners want their preferred jockey on, etc.
Yeah.
I certainly understand Linda Meach's situation. She was hard done by, but it won't be the first time it happens to a high-profile jockey, and it won't be the last.
And next time, Tommy, I drive past you, mate, and I toot to you on the road down there at Carrington, make sure you give me a wave. Just brush.
No, I did. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Your daughter must take after your wife, though. She looks like she's beautiful. She couldn't take after you.
Tommy's now that one, Jim.
Thanks very much, Tom. You'll never come back on this radio program again with all that accuracy. Nah, good on you, Tommy. Good man. See you around the streets of Caring Bar. Raymond, before we let you go, just getting this in from our man, Shane from Butterham. I think is the pronunciation.
Did you get that one right?
Yeah. Hi, lads. Do you think the VRC will blame Peter Volandis for the rain yesterday at Flemington?
He gets blamed for everything else down here, boys, so I'll probably blame him for the weather as well. But look, we've still got just over 80,000 at Flemington, and I'll probably get 100,000 because the weather will hopefully clear on Tuesday in terms of the rain at least. And look, interesting cup, and
yes.
Best of luck to everyone who has a bet on Tuesday.
Raymond, I said it at the start of the program. I love the weeks when Ray writes the paper. It's fantastic. I think it's going to be another couple of days of it as well, mate. Great to have you on this morning, and enjoy Melbourne, and I might see you down there.
We'll see you down here for sure, Jimmy. Best of luck, everyone, on the punt. And Dino, good luck on the quiz, mate. I'm relying on you, my friend.
I'm there for you, Ray. I heard there's a couple of beers on the line, so my interest has peaked.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, mate.
Just
thanks
to let
so
you
much,
know, Ray, you lost the quiz, just to let you know. Okay.
Has it already been had, has it?
No.
Done.
It's a premonition.
It's the roar.
See you, mate.
Good luck in the cup, guys. See
there
you.
Is Ray Thomas, our man, down there in Melbourne, 1353-53. Now, just before we get to the quiz, we'll have a break, but why don't we go to some callers on the line now. I want to have their say. Ruth is there. G'day, Ruth.
Hi there. Look, what? I was listening to Zorba, which you do every week, but honestly, it's time you boys gave him the flick.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. He is so living in the past. And so every week we get the same. It's manly. It's what we did in the old days. And if you go through your weekly episodes with Zorba, you will find he is putting Mal down every week. Why?
Yes. Yes.
Mal is one of our greatest rugby league players of all time. And he puts him down every week. What is that about?
Well, you'd have to ask Zorba about that one. And thank you for the call, Ruth. But he didn't miss Mal this morning. In saying that, and Mal has been one of the great players, he's now coaching. So you can't judge him on what he did as a player. You've got to judge him on what he's doing as a coach. And they have lost two of their last four, the Kangaroos, Dino. But we take your point, Ruth. And we'll here we go. So Brian's on the line. Wants to have a chat about Zorba as well. Hello, Brian.
Hello, boys. I can't believe it. Mal Riley was a really terrific player. No risk about that. John Lurch O'Neill in that 1973 grand final where Bobby got three tries by you. He was the best player on the field, better than any, or two tries rather. And he said Lurch tamed Cliffy Watson, he tamed the whole Cronulla pack. He was in everything, everything. He was the toughest forward to play the game besides Ian Roberts. And Burgess.
Ian Roberts.
But Riley's up there. But, you know, if you go near the fence now and listen, go right near the, and hear the two bodies hit, it's like two legs of lamb hit together. Right. You can hear that. You can hear the grunt when these gladiators are playing today.
No doubt, Brian. No doubt, Brian. Yeah.
Bodies like that.
Yeah, just incredible. We've got to keep moving, mate. Just on that, this is the feedback we're getting, Dino. Cliff Watson stood over Riley. That's from Rod from Nowra. George Piggins stood over Malcolm Reilly. That's no name on that one. And this came in from JB. Luckily, Malcolm Reilly is not running in the Melbourne Cup, or airbags would have tipped him to win by a long way.
Look, Jimmy Zorba. We know what he's like. His passion for Manly is unprecedented. No one out there loves Manly more than Zorba. Does it cloud his judgment? No doubt at all.
Undoubtedly.
No doubt at all. But every person out there who supports a side will always fall back and default to the past.
But what
so
about
I can't blame him for that, albeit we know what he's like, but his love for the maroon and white is unbelievable.
What about the potential bias that we highlighted with Ken Arthurson, Bob Fulton and Peter Peters in the room? And he went, oh, no,
not at all.
Not really. Ron's on the line. G'day, Ronnie.
Hey, Jimmy. Dean.
What do you got for us, bud?
Oh, topic today.
Yes.
Melbourne Cups.
Yes.
I thought 1983.
Kiwi.
They've never run in Australia before. A very long-haired young jockey who's never ridden in Australia before.
Yes.
Jay Cassidy. Deadstone motherless fast on the home turn. He'd been told to take off at Chiquita Lodge, and being his first ride at Flemington, Cassidy was looking for a great big building, you know, like a motel. In fact, it was the stables, the 800 metre mark. So he didn't see him, and he thought, I must have passed him anyway. The rest is history. He came from last on the turn, weaved his way through the field, and went away.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Brilliant day. Good on you, Ronnie. Great memory, too. You're in the lead, too, for the wingman, by the way. You're in the lead for the wingman. 1353 is the open line number. How ironic. Chris Waller, an eagle, and a finch, of course, running. And tipped by Ray Thomas at $10, tab.com.au. We're going to take a break. After the break, we've got the Event Cinemas quiz, Dino. This is when it gets really competitive. Make sure you call now if you want to be a part of it. 1353 53.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre- and post-race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
Tintin in America, winner of 5 Group 1 races. Already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder. Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
You've had a tough year. You were forced to try Bikram yoga. Your mother-in-law moved in. You got a back wax. So end the year on a high with Volkswagen's MY19 model clearance. Pick up the truly tough Amarok Core from just $39,990 drive away with our ABN Holders demonstrator clearance offer. Head into your local dealer today for offers you truly deserve. Conditions and exclusions apply. Visit Volkswagen.com.au.
It's King. Time to bring it down. Brilliantly taken. Absolutely superbly finished by Josh King. But there'll be a big inquest in the Manchester United penalty area about how he had as much time as that.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Favorite racing shows?
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Thank you very much. Apparently we're live on air, but you wouldn't know that. So what we're going to do here, Dino, is do the Event Cinemas quiz. Now, just a score update for those playing at home. Apparently I lost last week, which is incredible. But anyway, 25 points to 18. Mathematics, not my strong point. However, if Ray wins this one, I would say very hard to beat.
All over Red Rover.
52 weeks of the year. The highly anticipated drama Ford v Ferrari is now on sale. Academy Award winners Matt Damon and Christian Bale star in the remarkable true story of two of 20th century mavericks who join forces and rock the world. March into Max with VMAX. Head on over to eventcinemas.com. au to grab your tickets now. Right, Dino, we've got the toss of the coin here from producer Steve. So there it is, there it is. You call, mate. You're the visitor. You call.
I'm heads.
All right, head them up, head them up. That's the call. You got a head?
I've got it. We're away.
All right, what are you going to be, player one or two?
I'll be one, Jimmy.
Player one. All right, player one it is. So you're playing for John from Wingham. Morning, John.
G'day, mate. How you going, fellas?
Hey, John.
How are you? All right, Dean?
Yeah, I'm good, champ.
Just quickly before we start the quiz, can I just say I'm with Peter Peters. I don't have Sam Burgess in my top five English forwards, fellas. Malcolm Brearley's a mile ahead of him. And we're forgetting a great fella only a few years ago, mate. Gareth Ellis played for the Tigers.
Good player. Couldn't put him ahead of Sam Burgess, so John, to be honest. He's still playing Gareth Ellis at about 39.
Now, John, this is the quiz, not talk back. Let's go.
All right.
Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. John?
Yes.
Which jockey won the Melbourne Cup on the gelding saintly?
Darren Biedman.
Correct, Amanda.
We'll speak to Darren a little bit later on in the program. He's our legend of the game.
Right. Which UK town was retired Rabbitoh Sam Burgess born? A, Dewsbury, B, Newsbury, or C, Shrewsbury?
A, Dewsbury.
Correct again. On fire,
you know where
John?
Gareth Ellis was born, John?
I think he was born in Leeds.
It's a joke, John. But anyway, let's move forward to question three.
And, John, question three. Which golf club is holding this year's President's Cup? A, Liberty National, B, Muirfield Village, or C, Royal Melbourne?
Mate, this is going to be a bit of a guess. They say when you're in doubt, hit the one in the middle, so I'll say B.
John, Royal Melbourne was the answer there. C. But two from three.
Not too bad.
Pretty steady stuff.
Bad luck, Johnny boy. I think we've just had our caller drop off there. I think it was Shane from Butterham was our caller on the line. But we've got Craig there. Was this Craig's on the line. Does Craig want to be involved in a quiz? Otherwise, I'll take it on a countback. Is that right? We're just trying to get through on that. Anyway, let's go. Craig?
Hello.
You're in the quiz, pal.
I'm in it.
Yeah.
I've got to ring. Hey, Jimmy, how you going?
Oh, well, mate. Now, are you okay for the quiz? I need you to win.
Well, I was actually ringing up about the Melbourne Cup moment. It's Craig from Wingham. Craig Martin, Jimmy.
Oh, Craig. I'll tell you what. Can you go back to back? We get your Melbourne Cup moment, and then we get you in the quiz.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. Righto.
All right. What's your Melbourne Cup moment?
Well, actually, I'm a Wingham boy. I've done some good things. I've seen Mackay Devon win the three Melbourne Cups.
Right.
I was there. I've seen Wings win three of the four Cox plates. But obviously, I was there in 2009 when shocking one for Wingham boy Corey Brown.
Nice.
He actually, shocking one, I think it was the Lexus or something on the Saturday, but Corey didn't actually ride it.
Okay.
And he rode shocking in the Cup. Probably yes. Not one of his best rides, Ray, is that correct?
Well, Ray's not here. Dino's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Win's a win, Craig. Righto, let's jump into the quiz, mate.
Yep.
Question one, which jockey won the Melbourne Cup on the gelding Might and Power?
Oh, Cassidy?
Well done.
Not David, James, correct. No, not David, James. So well done, yeah. One for one there, Craig. Question two, which UK league team did Sam Burgess play for? Was it A, the Sheffield Eagles, B, the London Broncos, or C, the Bradford Bulls?
Oh, I'll go C. No idea.
Ah, Bradford Bulls. Well done. Here we go. Two all here. Question three. This is incredible. This is what we've come to, Dean. Which sports star has more Instagram followers than Kendall Jenner? Is it A, Cristiano Ronaldo, B, LeBron James, or C, Rafael Nadal?
Actually, I'll go outside. I'll go Nadal.
Zero, dear.
Crashed at the end there, John. Crashed at the end.
I don't really like the basketball that much. I'm more a tennis fan.
No, you're right. Well, it's not the basketball either. It's the football. Cristiano Ronaldo.
There you go.
All right, so we've got to go to the tiebreaker. Craig, what is Frenchman Richard Gasquet's current singles world ranking? And the answer is somewhere between 40 and 140.
Righto, I'll go like 53.
Okay, 53. You stay on the line, mate. We're going to go back to your man, John. By the way, this is the first in Sky Sports Radio. I think both our callers are for Wingham. I know John should. John? You there, John? John from Wingham. You've got 3 seconds to answer, otherwise I take it as a forfeit.
The forfeit?
Yeah. Three, two, one. John.
Jimmy, you nurture these blokes. You friend them. They become your mates, and then they walk out on you.
You guide them. You take their hand. Craig.
Hi, Jimmy.
You rang up to tell us a story about Melbourne Cup, and you've ended up walking away with a couple of Event Cinemas tickets.
Holy dooly. I don't know whether we got any of them in Wingham.
Well, mate, next time you come down to Sydney, you'll be able to go to an Event Cinemas on us, okay? So, mate, stay on the line, Craig. That, by the way, that's Craig Martin, Johnny Martin's young bloke. Big Roosters man too, I think, Craig. So stay on the line, mate. We're going to send you a double pass. Now, time to have a chat with Jared Daffy. Now, we've, everyone, Lizzie Jelfs, Ray Thomas, everyone's talking about how difficult it is to line up form in the Melbourne Cup, Dino. I reckon a man who'd be very confident about what he's going to do come Tuesday is our man Jared Daffy. Morning, Jared.
Morning, boys.
By the way, I can't believe that you were unlucky in the quiz last week.
Well, let me tell you one thing. You've got forces working against you. There was a toss in inverted commas
that
I didn't see. I heard a clunk, and I don't know whether it was a coin. And they're telling me, congratulations down the line, you've won the toss. How good's this? That was all I won. I got the questions for my man, Encyclopedia Britannica, in the hard part they were from.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a rort.
Mate, I think that's the...
But you don't know much, Jared, to be fair.
No, I
think
that's
a good point.
That's the most accurate thing I think Jared's ever said. There are forces working against
me. How good
me.
Was that quiz segment today? That's one for the archives.
Mate, it invariably is. I don't know how we do it.
That's one of the best.
Yeah, I don't know how we do it. All right, mate, how are we going with lining up this form in the Melbourne Cup? What are you thinking of backing come Tuesday?
Well, I'm not a favourites man, but it was pretty hard not to be impressed by Murder Glace in the Caulfield Cup, wasn't it? Actually, it's favourite now. It's $6.50 ahead of Constantinople at $8. They've backed a few. Downdraft was quite impressive yesterday. It's into $17 now. Mustajir's been some money for it at 17. To answer your question, Jimmy, I have no idea. I haven't spoken to my men in depth yet, but I go back to last year, Cross Counter, which got the job done nicely last year, and it's been $13, but we haven't seen the big money for it. It's sort of been flying under the radar for a previous winner. Mm-hmm. I know it goes up in weight, but maybe that might be the way to go.
All right. We'll take that on board.
Jared, the NBL, anything happening there in terms of betting? And while you're there, just give us a little sneaky peek at the NBA as well.
Yeah, we've got two NBL games on today, Dino. New Zealand are at home, 245 to Perth at 155. Illawarra host the Bullets, Illawarra 290, Brisbane $1.42. But the big game's tomorrow night. The Phoenix were shocked. Well, they got smashed by Melbourne United yesterday. And Melbourne United now take on Sydney tomorrow night. $1.90, take your pick. Sydney United won in overtime last night. So don't know whether that will affect them or not. We've got a lot of games on in the NBA today, as we do each and every day, Dean, and there's live betting on all of those. It's been a bit of a move for the New York Knicks. The last game. Portland, there's been a move for them. They're $1.74 to beat Philadelphia at $2.10.
Good scheduling too there on the Monday night before the Melbourne Cup. Melbourne team up against the Sydney Kings.
They used to play an A-League game then, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right. I think they did.
I don't know whether this is the first year they haven't, but clearly it didn't work for them, but it's gone.
Yeah, I tell you, I was just reading about the crowds over there in Adelaide for the 36ers game against the Kings. Biggest crowd they've ever had. I know they're in a new stadium, but...
And you would have seen mention made of LaMelo Ball from the Illawarra Hawks.
Yes.
The vision or the streaming of those matches, over a million people have been watching that in the US when he plays.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It is.
Incredible. Cricket today, would you believe, at the SCG, and Australia's playing, apparently.
They are. Before that, we've got a 220 match in New Zealand where the Kiwis are 185, England at 195. England won the first one on Friday, I think it was. But Australia today, $1.30. Pakistan, $3.60. If you're looking for some form for this one, boys, we beat Sri Lanka 3-0. Sri Lanka beat Pakistan 3-0.
Oh, dear.
But they're the number one ranked T20 side in the world, Pakistan, I think.
Yep.
Jared, any updated markets on the A-League, mate?
We do have a couple on today, Dean. We've got Melbourne City, $1.65, a draw at $4, Wellington at $5. Both of these favourites have been pretty well backed, particularly Three Maltese. And in the later game, Perth, $1.45, a draw at $4.50, and Central Coast at $7.
Tennis, the Barty party continues.
That's a big one tonight, isn't it? Six big boys if she wins, $6 million on the top of winning 10 already this year. She's a $1.90 equal favourite with Svitolina, so that's tonight. Also tonight, after that, we've got the Masters final in Paris where Djokovic is $1.10 and Shapovalov at $6.50. But obviously all eyes on our girl Ash Barty tonight, $1.90 equal favourite.
And fair dinkum, if you're sure having a schooner down at the Breakfast Creek Hotel, you wouldn't be surprised, would you?
No, she gets it. Actually, last night I was talking to her ex-coach, Jimmy Joyce, and he tells me, and I hadn't seen this mentioned anywhere, that she comes back after next week, but she's playing in the Pro-Am, I don't know who with, at the President's Cup.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's a very good golfer. He said, oh, she plays off 7 or 8. She doesn't play very often now, but... Yeah, he said, no, she's a good golfer, so there's a story for someone to chase up.
Is anyone surprised by that? She's an outstanding cricketer. She's the number one tennis player on the planet, and, she's a good golfer as well. So
she goes good.
Yeah.
She goes good.
You could say the same thing about you, Gerard Daffy.
Oh, thank you, James.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. Anyway, have a good Tuesday, mate. Thanks for that.
See you, boys.
See you later. Gerard Daffy there from TAB, giving us all the latest prices. Now, coming up next, Dino, we do have a legend of the game. It's Darren Beedman, now working with Godolphin, but a Hall of Fame jockey who is the first jockey to be inducted into the Hall of Fame while still active.
Correct.
Just incredible. A couple of Melbourne Cup wins for him and some absolutely... out-and-out champions that he rode during the course of his career. We'll look forward to that. We'll get a sports update from Tanya. We'll go through the A-League with Phil Moss, and we'll go through some NFL, some Major League Baseball, and, of course, the NBA with Brady Height. And, of course, we'll keep taking your calls on 13 53 53. We've got Wingman Beer up for grabs. Here's a nomination here, Memorable Melbourne Cup Moments.